Hey coaches, you are listening to the 323 Sports Podcast, where you can keep up with breaking news in the team sports industry, enjoy fun interviews with coaches, and gain insight on how to build your athletic program. On this episode, we dive into part two of our What Do You Do series, as it involves interviewing athletic directors and coaches about how they operate their program. Our interviewee will be Zachary Shank, the athletic director and head boys basketball coach at Neuse Christian Academy in Raleigh, North Carolina. Here is what he had to say about hiring and supervising as an AD. Today we got a special guest. We got Zachary Shank from Neuse Christian Academy here from Raleigh, North Carolina, here at our office here in Garner, North Carolina. A little bit about Zach. He's an athletic director and head boys basketball coach at Neuse Christian Academy. He has been in education since 2012, but he's been at Neuse Christian Academy since 2017. One of the biggest things about Zach and how he's so special to us personally is he was our first ever 323 Sports contract signee. And he signed with us back in 2018, and I believe it was an all 323 custom deal. Is that right, Zach?
That is correct.
That's awesome. So we really appreciate Zach and all his business he's brought us here at 323 Sports, and appreciate him taking the time out of his own day to come here and talk about hiring and supervising. But before we get into that, Zach, can you kind of introduce yourself a little bit, kind of your personal background, where you grew up, where you went to college, where you played ball, et cetera?
Definitely. First of all, thank you for having me out. This is a great honor. So I grew up in Jacksonville, Florida, where I was born and raised. I went to high school there at First Coast Christian, and grew up there in the church, grew up there in the school, and went on to Trinity Baptist College in 2008, where I played for 4 years and finished up in 2012, and then was on staff from 2013 to 2016 on the men's side of basketball there at the college, recruiting, assistant coaching, working with the bigs, and focusing on different things like that. It was a great experience. Really enjoyed that, and on that side of the game. In 2014, I actually started also at a school, so I was kind of 50-50. I was working at the college, but then I was also teaching at a school there. Nice. In Jacksonville. And so I started teaching. They asked me if I wanted to be the athletic director and kind of start the program. And so we just got to it, started it, and really took things and got it rolling. And so I was there at Cornerstone Christian School there in Jacksonville, Florida, and left there in 2017 to come here to Raleigh, North Carolina. It's a Neuse Christian. And we've been here now going on our second year, which is our almost complete. Can't believe that it's already March with the school year. So we've been here for 2 years. My wife and I, and we've really enjoyed it. Basketball season has ended, so we've transitioned into spring sports now, and so kind of some downtime for myself and for the family, so that's always nice. So that's where I grew up in Florida. Like I said, everything I've ever known was in Florida. I decided to move here to Raleigh, North Carolina, and get things going here.
Now, Michael, or Mike.
Yes.
There's something about Zach. As you mentioned, he went to college at Trinity in Florida.
Correct.
There's something special there that's hanging in the rafters. What is that, Mike?
To my knowledge, Zach recently had his jersey retired.
That's amazing.
Yeah, and it's very clear in the rafters. I think it's like a 4X, maybe a 5X. But yes, is that correct?
What number is it?
It was 33. And I don't know if you want to say the jersey was retired as if as I was put into the Hall of Fame. So I don't want to throw some.
You don't want to lie here on air.
Yeah. You know, this is going to be out there where everybody can see. So or I guess not see.
Definitely here.
Anyway,
yes.
But yeah. So I was inducted into the Trinity Baptist College Hall of Fame about a month ago, and a really cool experience to go down and be with the guys. There's a couple guys that are still on that team that started out when I was still on staff. So I get to go down there and see them and get to spend time with them and Coach Jones and Coach Milligan, who obviously had a huge part in my career down at TBC. And you know, so it is official. I am I guess, in the Hall of Fame there.
That is awesome.
Great experience.
And, that is awesome.
So it's a really cool, you know, obviously to have and go back to high school. You know, you are right there. My high school jersey is retired.
There you go. See, I knew something was retired.
You're on the right track, right?
I thought you were retired, but yeah. you're still playing.
Unfortunately, yeah.
Okay.
So
that is awesome. Now, Mike, I think, do you play with Zach at the Colonial League here in Cary?
I do. We reluctantly picked up Zach. First time I met him was when he came through our doors, almost literally, at 6'9" and 3 bills and some change. He definitely got our attention. And so, no, Zach's been great. I guess only one season, correct?
Correct.
One season. But yes, he was a great pickup for us, had a lot of fun. Hopefully he did as well. But yes, yeah. He plays.
Does he play the one spot?
He does play the guard. no, Zach is definitely a true five.
That was in my contract that I had to run the point guard position.
Yeah. The 323 contract, yes. Right?
Right, yeah.
He is definitely a true five.
Speaking of the 323 contract, though, how has your experience with that gone so far? With the all-school deal?
Yeah, it's gone really well. Everything that we need from team packs to, you know, coaching gear to hard goods to everything is all tied into our contract. And so far, I mean, being an athletic director since 2014, obviously not as long as some other ones I'm sure that you'll interview or here in the city. Believe it or not, though, you know, we deal with a lot of companies because you're always trying to find the right one. Mm-hmm. And there's that word again, right? You know, it always pops up, right? But when we got here, you know, kind of handed things over, and BSN was kind of the rep, and we've dealt with BSN before, and never had any major issues or anything like that, and dealt with some others, and it never has really felt, you know, that it's just been right. And
I'm loving this.
But you know, when we signed the 323 contract, we knew and just kind of a cool experience and to put, you know, our guys in these uniforms and to represent what you guys represent and to be, you know, again, like-minded with our companies and with our sports program and school. And so that's kind of a key thing for us is you guys are out to make sure that we get what we need and that you guys are doing it the proper way. And we enjoy that.
I appreciate that, Zach. Yeah. I know Mike can attest to this, but, you know, with our slogan, Do It Right, as you mentioned, that's why he was saying he keeps saying, keeping up the word right keeps coming up. But that is in our slogans, to do it right. And I think in the customer service end, I think that's what we try to aim for, is to be the best in that. Wouldn't you agree, Mike, as far as – at least that's what we strive to.
Yeah,
to
definitely. Be. Yeah, for sure. That's why we came up with the slogan for those very reasons is, you know, Keith and I have been doing this for about a decade now. And in this industry, it does seem, for whatever reason, to be a very good old boy network, you know, where it's – you know, I'll get to it when I can. I'll get back with you. You know, I'm at a cookout right now, but, you know, I'll get your uniforms to you in a few weeks. Just don't worry. Just sit tight.
Right.
And not that everyone's that way. That's not the case. But we definitely experienced that. And so that was kind of how the slogan came up. You know, just do it right.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Do your best.
I love that. So, now, we're going to go ahead and segue into doing this right. And we're going to dive into our topic. I know this is what you guys really want to hear right now, is about the hiring and supervising. And that's kind of the topic of this podcast episode with Zachary Shank. And so, obviously, Zach has been an AD for a few years now and has gone through these types of processes before. How important is this for your program as far as hiring the right people and supervising? How important is this to you and your program there at News Christian?
Well, I mean, obviously, you know, our stance is in our name. And with News Christian Academy, we promote and we stand for what we believe in and our core values and our morals. So we don't just hire anybody off the street. And you would be surprised, as I'm sure most other ADs would probably have similar stories. You'd be surprised at some of the guys that sit across the desk from you that just want to get into coaching. And some of the things that they leave out and some of the things that they're not willing to tell until that little piece of paper comes back from the state or from the nationwide background check that they forgot to mention, or, you know, or the driving records and things like that for those teams that, you know, are hiring drivers or anything. But again, you know, what we stand for is there in our name. You would just be surprised at the people that they just want to get into coaching. And there's nothing wrong with that. But unfortunately, you know, sometimes it's just not the place here at News Christian for just anybody off the street to just come in and coach. So
right. And so especially for the Christian schools in particular, that's why it's very important to hire people that have a background check and do have a like-mindedness too.
Right.
I mean – because then you have different types of philosophies that are being incorporated right. into your whatever sport they're coaching, right. which could be something that doesn't align with your core values there.
Right. Exactly.
So yeah, but what are maybe some good examples of people that, you know, you've supervised and have hired and have done a good job with incorporating maybe your philosophy as an athletic director or as a school in general to, you know, instill in these kids as they leave Noose to then become like a better person? Like,
right. I mean, our main focus is, especially with, you know, obviously with coaching the in the basketball side of things, you know, our focus is, you know, first and foremost, we want to make sure that we are going to produce, you know, solid young men when the year is over or when the season is over. And that if I can walk away or say that, hey, you know what, we could have gone 0-25 this year, you know, yes, my coaching and my competitive side is always going to disagree with this, but everybody I think will agree with it at the end of the day, is that if we don't have the best of season and records aren't the best, but we see, you know, at least one, two, maybe three kids walk out and they're able to start making the right decisions and they're able to, you know, go down a different path than maybe what they're used to, or just to make those certain decisions, you know, in life, then our job has been successful. And, you know, obviously they get it in school, they get it in, you know, during the week. We incorporate everything, again, that our core values of our school, we incorporate into our athletic department as well, with the focus of, you know, starting the practices off with you know, what it is a small devotion. We call it, you know, words of inspiration or something like that. You know, we always try to shy away from using the word devotion. You know, obviously, you know, hey, sit down for a devotion. It's not always, you know, you lose them mentally, their kids, yeah. at the end of the day. So we always kind of start out with some words of motivation and a prayer, and we get things rolling, and we always close the practice with the same thing. And the key thing is obviously making sure that your staff is on the same page with that,
right.
Whether it's your assistants that are directly underneath you or whether it's the head coaches and their assistants. And that's one thing that we always talk about, always focus on in interview processes and meetings and different things like that, that we are always trying to educate, not just from an athletic standpoint, but from a spiritual standpoint, an everyday life standpoint, and so on. So,
yeah. Mike, do you have anything to comment on anything that was just said? Or
No, I would definitely agree with everything you said. I think it's very important, especially in a Christian school, you know, to reinforce what they're being taught in the classroom. You know, I'm not saying that I'm not one of those people, but I would say a lot of kids would say their most influential person is usually the coach. Mm-hmm. You know, that just seems to be a common theme. And so I feel like that much more when you have an assistant or somebody, because you can't always be there.
Right.
I mean, it's kind of like our colonial games. You just can't always be there. Zach's great. But sometimes you do have to miss, or you're out of town or whatever. And so when you have an assistant run your entire practice, I mean, he can do a lot of damage in one Ooh. Practice if he's not on the same page.
Yep.
You know, both from a basketball standpoint, but also, you know, from influencing the kids,
yeah.
you know.
Yep.
So, yeah, that's my two cents on there.
I like that.
On the matter.
That was a little dig because I missed the championship game in the Colonial League.
Oh, Travis, no.
In case you didn't know that.
I was wondering about that.
Yeah.
You know, when I first talked to Zach, I said, look, we definitely want you on the team, but this is a team we just really need everyone to be committed. This is his exact words. Bro, I don't miss games. And to his defense, he never did. A regular season game, I don't think you ever missed. No. It was the championship or the playoffs, huge game.
It was the semifinals and the finals.
We could have used him. But that just made his stock, you know, grow right. higher because we did not end up winning this year. So anyway. Exactly.
Hey. Yeah. And, you know, that comes to full circle, right? So, like, at the end of the day, it's not about wins or losses, like you mentioned.
Right.
You know, I mean, winning is what you want as a competitor.
Of course.
We're all – that's all instilled inside humanity, I feel like. But at the end of the day, you know, if your core values align, you're going to want – okay, are these kids going to leave my program and make the right decisions? But maybe what are – Zach, can you touch on maybe a little bit about maybe what are some challenges in supervising in particular? Like maybe having your assistant – run a practice like Mike mentioned, but what are some challenges you think?
So I mean, obviously the having assistants come in and run things, and it's like Mike said, they can do a lot of damage in a little bit of time. And I've been on that side of things where, you know, I wasn't able to be at a practice or had something come up and I needed my assistants to run it. And the next day or the next week, I spent the entire time doing damage control because of things that were said at the practice or the way things were handled or whatever. So there's always tough things there. But I mean, some of the biggest, you know, kind of challenges and things like that are just making sure that these assistants, or again, it goes back to being on the same page, making sure that we're focused, knowing that what we're doing. Every time that I would say the biggest challenge for us would be during our sports seasons that are not on our campus. So like mm-hmm. for soccer, it's tough to supervise our soccer program because they're not on campus for practices or games.
Yeah.
So I'd have to get in my vehicle, travel to them and kind of make sure and see what's going on. The only time that we really cross paths is when they're on campus prior to leaving or coming in for a meeting or anything prior to that. But for practices and games, it's sometimes tough to quote unquote supervise them because they're not on campus and they're not you know, as easily accessible as it would be for a basketball team or the volleyball team or anything like that. So that is a challenge there for supervising. But again, just making sure that, you know, whatever your athletic, you know, stance is and whatever your views are, is that every coach supports it and that they're bought in. You know, that's mm-hmm. one thing that we promote with our team, is that if everybody is bought in, then we'll be successful. Well, that's the same thing in our department, is if everybody understands the philosophy and everybody understands what we want and where we want to go, then they have to buy into that as well. And you'd be surprised if a coach is buying in, then they're really, the supervision isn't as difficult because they're bought in. They agree with you. Mm-hmm. They see it. They know what's going on. It's the times when you have a coach that kind of has their own agenda in a sense. Mm-hmm. They're there strictly for wins and losses. They're there strictly to get the next, you know, to the next step or wherever else it is. And so that's kind of a challenge there. I mean, just in well, we'll talk about the hiring here in a bit, but when it comes down to that supervising, it really is. If you get coaches that are bought in, then the supervising is really that much more easy. So yeah. Much easier. So.
Yeah, no, exactly. And those are all some really good tips and stuff that athletic directors can take with them as they maybe reflect on their own program as they're listening to this and be like, huh, I wonder if my assistants are bought into what our philosophy has. Right. You know, yeah, maybe just as a reflection time.
Yeah, and the key thing for that was every season, I'm going to say this, even though it's my goal, every sports season to start the season with a meeting. Now, that's not with an individual meeting. We already do the individual meetings with no doubt there, but we do an entire season meeting. So we'll have assistants, we'll have head coaches, everybody in where we'll talk about, all right, here's the what we want for the fall season. Here's what we want for the winter season. Here's what we want for the spring season. And that way, we're always meeting. We're always holding each other accountable. My door is always open. My coaches know that. For the ones that are on campus, they're always coming out. They're always, you know, willing to come in and talk with me. And I do, at the end of the season, we'll have closing interviews. And you say, hey, you know, the athletic department, you know, judge the athletic department. You're a coach. I want you to judge myself. I want you to judge them. So I'm kind of giving them an opportunity to come back and, in a sense, critique me slash supervise me, in a sense where I want them to hold me accountable just as much as I'm going to hold them accountable.
Yeah.
If I do something that doesn't make sense, then, you know, tell me. Let's sit down. Let's talk about it. And let's see what we can do to maybe make sense the next time. So
exactly. Checks and balances, right?
Exactly.
That's what you need. That's awesome. Now, you also hinted about the hiring process as well. What are maybe some things you think about in hiring a new coach? Like, let's say, hey, you got a spot, you got a sport that needs to be filled right now. Right. What are maybe some processes that go through your mind as far as this hiring process?
Well, I mean, you know, I'm sure as any other athletic director, you want to get it filled in a timely manner. You don't want to sit there or, you know, I've been on that side where you don't get a coach or, you know, here it is, you know, October 1st, basketball season starts in a month and you still don't have a coach for, you know, a team.
Yeah.
And, you know, as an athletic director, everybody's looking at you. And so you're in kind of the hot seat on that. And so sometimes it is very tough to fill these spots. I'll be honest, it is tough to find middle school coaches.
Yeah.
You know, that it is what it is. Nobody wants to coach middle school. You know, unfortunately, it's not where the recognition is. It's not the highlight plays. It's not, you know, nobody's dunking in middle school basketball unless you got a freak athlete or yeah. something, or like a Mike Paramore or whatever. But
definitely,
you know, so it is tough. And I mean, it's in a sense, it's trying to, I don't want to use the word, but I'm going to have to kind of sell these people on you know, an opportunity to really minister and educate and, you know, influence. And so, like, in every aspect of life, that's kind of and that's what we promote for these potential coaches and people is, like, look, you know, hey, you can come and you can coach, but here's what we're doing. And you'd be surprised, the guys and ladies that, you know, it's not for them, or the ones that you would think it isn't, and they say, hey, that's exactly what we're here for. You know, we want to make sure that we can be good examples and so on there. So the hiring process is always, always a challenge just because you got to find the right person. I mean, this last year we had middle school boys soccer and hired somebody who I thought would be a good fit, had a good heart, had a good mind, you know, understanding of the game, but ended up not working out for us. And, you know, it was about a week and a half in, and, you know, it was like, ooh, you know, not the best decision. You know, where can we do, what can we do to kind of work this out and move forward from there? But we have, when I came into Noose, the contracts or the coaching contracts that we had, you know, for our new coaches, I critiqued those and kind of edited them into kind of my own into what we used at the down at the college in Florida. And so we hold people accountable based off of their coaching contract. They have to sign it, whether they're, you know, whether that it's a paid position, whether it's a, you know, a third assistant and they're just, you know, getting a polo here and there or whatever. Every coach has to sign these. And basically what it is, again, it's just it's an accountability partner. Mm-hmm. And we say, hey, you know what? You didn't hold up to number three on the list. You know, let's talk about it. And so these really allow the coaches to kind of get an understanding of what we want when they're hired and what they need to hold up to. So
yeah, that's really good. I feel like you got a good grasp on the hiring process, even just in a few years that you've been an AD. I feel like, you know, hiring is obviously vital for a program to run and function.
Definitely.
I mean, without a coach, you don't have a team.
Yeah.
You know, unless you have a player coach, because those are awful.
But right.
not in the high school.
That's a Mike Paramore, right?
Yeah, definitely not.
Anything to comment on that, Mike?
No, I mean, I do see everything he's saying. I see it from my perspective too, you know, as a business owner. I think one of the things that you said that stuck out is being on the same page, that and just being bought in. You know, that can overcome a multitude of sins if someone is bought in, because sometimes they just make careless mistakes, or hey, you know, it's probably not best to go to this restaurant with Noose Christian, you know, hey, you know, I know we won the championship, but let's not go to, you know, let's not go dancing at midnight,
right,
you know, at the club, at least not with our, you know, with our apparel on.
Right, right.
You know, you can wear 323 stuff, but if you're going to go to the club, but, you know, that person who naively did something like that, if they're bought in and truly didn't do an accident, there's obviously other issues, but a lot of times that can very easily be corrected.
Right.
But if you have someone from the beginning, and really at middle school, I would think, because you want that person training these kids to be fed into the next program and the next program, so even though it does seem somewhat minuscule, it is important. And so I see it from my standpoint as well, being bought in, I think, is one of the most important factors.
Yeah, and what you mentioned about middle school and kind of the trickle down effect or the pyramid scheme or whatever, we start with the middle schoolers, and so that middle school team. And the reason why we going back to the whole season meetings is, if I've got a head varsity volleyball coach and I've got three volleyball teams from varsity, JV, and middle school, well, that volleyball program, that is hers, because at the end of the day, those middle schoolers and JV players are going to be her varsity players in 2, 3, 4, 5 mm-hmm. years. So we have these meetings, and one thing that we really do promote is that the varsity heads, that they trickle down and they've got a hand in every sport below them or every team below them, so that they are educating the next coach. So, sometimes you do get some younger guys that are, or younger girls that are wanting to coach the middle school teams. And so, we partner that up with our varsity coaches who are a little bit older and a little bit seasoned and have been doing it for a little longer. So we kind of have that buddy system or that kind of a mentor system where when the time allows us, as we kind of trickle down and we say, hey, here's what we're expecting. Here's the sets we run, here's the stuff that we want. And so that way it gives that coach an opportunity to kind of be their own athletic director or their own sports director in their sport and in their field. So again, it goes back to that kind of that freedom of giving them an opportunity to kind of do what they want to do and then manage their sport all while, being managed at the same time. Yeah. So
yeah, that's really good. Yeah. And a few things that kind of stuck out to me as we kind of wrap up here is, as far as if you want to like do a bullet point list of hiring and supervising, a few things that stick out to me is, number one is, it's never too early to start looking if you have a spot that's open for a coach. Never too early. Obviously, do not procrastinate. Number two is your expectations for your coaches.
Right.
I feel like, as long as they know your philosophy, your standpoint on your athletic department philosophy or core values, making sure they're bought in. Yeah. And they're on board with whatever you have going on.
Yeah, and so based off of that one real quick, we have a list of 13 responsibilities for our coaches. And so that goes hand in hand with our contract that every coach signs. And those 13 responsibilities are something completely different that are not tied into the contract. So they don't repeat themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But they're a list of things that are really broken down. Just a couple of years ago, I think it was 10 responsibilities. As you see, it grows for different places that you're at. You're at a different school that requires something different, then you have a new responsibility. But it focuses on all types of things, and all the way from the spiritual welfare of a kid to the athletic welfare to just the simple safety of, hey, that kid's your responsibility. You can't leave until that kid mm-hmm. is picked up or until the last kid's picked up. Like simple things like that, all the way down to everything.
Yeah. No, that's really good, Zach. And I felt like we had some really good conversation about, hiring and supervising on this podcast. And to wrap things up, maybe what is maybe one or two things that you can give great advice to maybe a brand new AD who's just entering the market as a brand new athletic director of, let's just say, a small Christian school? What are maybe some things or some tips you can give him to start out with the hiring process?
I'll be honest with what helped me was I found older athletic directors in my area. The thing, most of the stuff that I have, I pulled from when I was at the college level in Florida, and I met with Coach Jones, the athletic director there at TBC, and the head basketball coach, and just sat. I would sit in his office for an hour to 2 hours while he was working. I know I was annoying him, but while he was working, and I would just ask him questions. Hey, how would you handle this situation? And I still do it today. When I moved to Raleigh, kind of similar thing. You find older ADs. Over David Shank over at Trinity. We went to breakfast a couple weeks ago, and just I wanted to learn kind of more about him. I wanted to connect with him. I've done that with Stephen Milton at Friendship Christian, who's right down the road from us. And And I would say always trying to find that person that has been in your position and has been in the same field for at least 10 or more years. And that has been a really a key thing for me. I mean, you got to imagine I started an athletic department. You know, most guys, they become an assistant. Then 10 to 12 years down the road, they become an athletic director. I mean, I see that in all of my friends that are in the same field that I'm in. You know, I was, you know, 25, I think, when I was named athletic director and given the keys to the building and the keys to the vans and the buses. And I'm like, I don't know what to do with all of this.
A lot of responsibility, right?
Yeah. There. And I was just kind of, you know, thrown into the mix. So I think for me, being thrown in and then also having a couple of people to mentor me and to talk it, you know, things out to me and being able to talk to them, that was huge for me. So I think, and I've told other people that just recently, you know, I've got a buddy of mine in Florida that, you know, just started coaching. I said, look, I said, find someone that's in the same field that's either a little bit older than you or has been doing it a little bit longer than you and ask them every question you can think of. And then I would say the other thing is just reading. Like, I'm not a reader. I hate reading.
Me too.
Okay. I'll just be honest. I'd rather listen to something or I'd rather watch something all day long. You know, and high school wasn't a reader. College, I wasn't. I don't know how I got through college without reading. But
readers,
you know,
are leaders.
Yes. Zach. And so
I don't like reading either, just FYI.
But at the same time, I mean, that phrase is something that's been given to me, you know, by multiple people is people that, you know, that read, you know, always seem to accomplish a little bit more, or, you know, they are readers are leaders. And so that was another challenge from Coach Jones was read. Get books and read the books. You know, even if you read a chapter to two chapters a week or whatever, you're not a fast reader. It doesn't matter. Read the books and educate yourself. And so that's the two things is find a mentor and just read, no matter, you know, what it is, something to do with your field. Those are my two things. I still obviously do them and still practice them very often. And I'm always looking for good books, whether it's on leadership, whether it's coaching, whether it's, you know, even business. You know, things, because obviously we treat our athletic department like a business and different things like that. So we're always looking for, you know, stuff like that and promote reading as well to our assistant coaches and head coaches.
Maybe a third thing you could add is listening to this podcast.
There
maybe.
You go. Yes.
Hopefully this brought some value to you guys, which I feel like there was a lot of value coming from Zach over there across the room. So thank you so much for being on today's podcast, Zach. It was really awesome to have you
here. Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. It was really good, man. And hopefully you guys enjoyed that and maybe learned some new things. Or if you're a seasoned AD, maybe some time to reflect on what you have there.
Definitely.
So thanks again, Zach, for being here. And
thank you.
Best of luck with all your endeavors at News Christian Academy.
Yes, sir.
And with that, that concludes our episode for this month. Thanks for listening. If you want to find out more about who we are and what we do, check out our website at 323sports.com. Also, guys, be sure to check out our social media platforms such as Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. We post daily stories on Instagram, so make sure you have fun and engage with us. As always, don't forget to do it right.